and I pay the person off. And if I, anyway, I don't want to go to details. If I had given that 40K, it would have been worse. But when I got there, the guy said, no, it's not 40, it's 70. Yeah, I think the clearing agent he used or something. He said 70 that he had said that if one naira is short, he no go release the car. So I paid the guy complete. They gave me the keys, the papers, signed, exchanged things, and I left. But why I bring up the story is that I learned before then how to take loss. If the path you have been walking on is wrong, it is wrong. Continuing in it does not make it right. But if you will agree to repent, are you getting my point? When the word of God comes with correction, listen, the kind of progress you will make in life, you wouldn't believe it. I went all of that, all right? Trying to explain one principle. Many Christians have been using a particular way to try and make tomorrow secure. I came to tell you today, it doesn't work like that. How is tomorrow secure? It's by faith. He said, Pastor, what do you mean by faith? Does it not mean to ask God for something and believe you have received it? No, that's not what faith means. Faith simply means that anything God says, I believe it. That's what faith is. What is faith? I didn't hear you.
Anything God says,
I believe it. That's what faith is. So if he says that tomorrow is secure, I believe it. If he says, I know the plans I have towards you, or the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, I believe it. If he says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, I believe it. Are you getting my point? If he says promotion does not come from the east or the west, or not even from the south, but God is judge, he brings down one and lifts up another, I believe it. If he says to me that the years that the locust ate, that he can restore double back to me, I believe it. Say, Pastor Baki, what do you mean you believe it? It means I start living like it is true. Which is actually, is now I'm getting into the other part of the message I said I wanted to preach today. In fact, this is the main one I was going to. But all of these ones, I believe the Holy Spirit wanted to get it clear. What do I mean by I live as it is, as if it is true? And that is the role of works in the life of a believer. Let's read this scripture. Very important. Please don't ever forget this. It's in Christ Jesus you are accepted. Not because you did not do anything wrong. You know, how many of you heard of Osama bin Laden? You know, to an American, he's the worst human being on the earth. I hope you know that. I hope you know God doesn't think so. I hope you know that. God doesn't think so. God thinks he's just another unbeliever. Another sinner. Just like Barack Obama. Yes. I've read enough scripture to show, all right, that guy is no more of a sinner than Barack Obama is. He's not. Okay, don't let me say scripture. But that's my interpretation. The much of the Bible I have read. He said, but he killed 3,000 people. Now ask yourself, how many people David killed? And it was a man after God's heart. So let's not even go near there at all. All right? I don't want to touch on that at all. All right? And a typical American may think that, what do you call him? Bin Laden is the worst man on the earth. But if that man believes, and if Barack Obama too believes, and if all the armed robbers in your neighborhood believe, what will shock you is that when you get to heaven, or if you look in the realm of the spirit, all of you are the same. You that has never committed. you never fought jihad. You are not a homosexual like Barack Obama is. He says, am I homosexual? Yes, it's in the scripture. Not only those who do it, but those who take pleasure in them that do it. You see what I'm saying? You're none of the above. Yet, they say, yeah, all the holy people coming. You see, you know, Tiger is in front of you. That's the armed robber down the street. He's right in front of you. Osama bin Laden say, oh boy, please shift. And then you see Barack Obama jogging to enter. Ah, say, bros, how far? I say, come on, only Jesus died for. Now all of us jump. Say, all our sins have been washed away. Don't forget, even the good works have been washed away. I don't know whether you heard that. Even those things you thought you were doing that were good, many of them were evil. If you know the way God judges things, let me say this to you. There are churches you are going to today, and you are a sinner because of it. If you, as an example, if you go to TP Joshua Church, you just backslid. I hope you know that. It's called backsliding. The Bible says, why do you love those who hate the Lord? It almost killed Jehoshaphat. So sometimes he has to wash away even what you thought was good works. They just wash everything away. All the years he bowed down at wrong altars thinking he's praying. All the seed he sowed. You know, some of your seeds have to be washed away. All those seeds you sowed for forgiveness of sin, it has to be washed away. Because that one was an insult in heaven. So Father, as I'm putting this shade in the offering basket, all my sins shall forgive it. Is it wash that one away? That one is iniquity. Oh, I'm insulting us here. So Gabriel, what money is that? He says the one he stole. Don't mind it. So it's even the good works. They have to be washed away. They have to be washed away. So that only in Christ Jesus may we stand. I said something to you earlier. Let me say it again. If your good works cross near your ear when you want to pray, say, Lord, please excuse me, I'm coming. Get behind me, Satan. Say, Lord, like we said, have mercy upon me. In Christ Jesus, I receive grace. I thank you because your word is true. Your word said, you make all grace abound towards me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound unto every good work. I thank you because you are the one that gives me the power to get wealth, to establish that covenant that was confirmed in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you because all power belongs to you. Thank you very much. I'm asking you to increase this, our business. Increase it tenfold, 800-fold. We want it to be that in the next 5, 6, 7 years, we'll be employing 10,000 people. Our business will be turning over in hundreds of millions of dollars annually. Thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. So you know you have been a faithful giver and tither. Shh, in Jesus' name, get behind me, Satan. Lord, I thank you for grace. I thank you for grace. And listen, you are a faithful giver. Are you seeing it? There are ministries that are running on your offering alone. There are children that eat because of you alone. There are families that their whole livelihood is depend. In fact, some people are praying for you daily that you must not die. In the name of Jesus, that man, that woman must not die. Why? Because if you die like this, they go there and join. And you know all of these things. But when you approach the place of prayer, no, it's fight. You resist the devil and he flees from you. What is that devil? That devil that says you have done well. Come and claim your own. You resist that devil. It's a devil. You resist him. Say, don't spoil my life for me. I say it all the time. The power of good works is destroyed once we make claim upon the good works. Because indeed, good works have power. They bring blessings into your life. To do that which is good. If you follow me on Twitter, I've been dropping that one, you know, in the last 2 days. Anybody who does good for the reward loses out entirely. If you go and preach to somebody so you can take a soul to heaven, it's not counted for you. You know, the people who are preaching, that the day of judgment, they will count how many souls I won. Because I'm not counting anyone. A selfish man, you don't love the soul. You only love your reward. If you know what they call Christianity, you stop all this joke that we are cracking every day. You know, if you got that my tweet, I said, I quoted Psalm 45 verse 5. He said, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's all. What you are doing must be because of what you love, not what you are trying to get. What did I say? What you are doing must be because of what you love, not what you are trying to gain. Because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness or iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. It is because of what you love. Good works must come out of you because of what you love. You do it because that's what you love to do. Why do I do that which is right? Because doing right is the normal thing for a righteous person to do. Hope you're following me. Listen, if you finish hearing this gospel, your Christianity will be sweet. You won't be under pressure. I like one thing Kingsley said to me. When we started Kingdom World here, I remember the way it was. I informed, apart from my family people, I remember one fellow I informed his friend Onyeka. Onyeka informed Kingsley. And Kingsley showed up here, like our third or fourth meeting. And he said to me later, that before I met you, sir, I was in bondage. That is to good works. So after listening to you, I became free. And the young man, as far as I'm concerned, was now doing more good works in freedom than he was doing with bondage. Somebody preached to him that if he doesn't pay the whole tithe, he's dead meat. He said, if you buy him a coke, you just brought condemnation into his heart. That time, if you bought him a bottle of coke, because how you go take amortize this thing for God? But how do accountants call it again? So when you give them a lift, they calculate the distance. He said to me that, after listening to you, sir, serving God became sweet. And that's how it's supposed to be. You think Jesus ever said, look at that woman, her child is dead. We are righteous people. Peter and go, we are righteous people. Let's walk righteousness and go and raise that child. It wasn't like that, though. It was just, what's happening? Why are all of you crying? Hey, madam, your only son, and you're a widow. This is not right, Satan, I beg. Come here, stop that. Satan, be careful yourself. Oh yeah, oh boy, get up. And he does that. The Bible says compassion moved him. Not the desire to do something for God. It was what? Compassion. That is, it was what he wanted to do. He was not under pressure. That is the liberty that understanding righteousness brings into your life. That you know that I'm not righteous because of my works. I'm righteous because of my relationship. I don't know whether I hear what I said. I'm not righteous because of my works. So I'm righteous because of the relationship I will have with God the Father through his Son Jesus Christ. You must get that thing. If you have believed, that's it. That's the key to righteousness. Faith is what? The key to righteousness. God took it upon himself to cleanse you. That's the meaning of that word. Mekedishki. I want to find out. I said, Israel, I hope you have found out Jehovah Mekedishki for us. He said, yes. He says, God my sanctifier. Are you seeing? So you can sing your own song. Make me clean is your name. You understand my point? Jehovah that makes me clean. It's his duty. It's his job. I said, Lord, we've come dirty. So how can we get clean? He said, believe on him whom I sent. Believe in the Jesus that was killed, that was sacrificed, that lamb whose blood was shed for your sake. Do you believe? Say, yes, sir, we do. He said, in that case, get up. You can go. You are clean. Is there anything to do? Yes. Make sure you keep believing it. Thank you, sir. After believing, what do we do? Believe it some more. You don't have to do anything. As you are believing it, some doings will come out of you. Do those things. I'm not accepting you because of the things you are doing, but they are the signs that indeed you believe. What did I say? They are the signs that indeed I believe. Let me get back to that issue. I keep on giving as an example. About the money thing as an example. Okay, are you saying that I don't have to sow money to prosper tomorrow. I said so. That's exactly what I said. He says, I should stop giving. You're a thief. You hear what I said? If because I said you don't have to give to prosper, you stop giving, you're a wicked soul. Are you seeing it? That this selfishness has always been in your heart. That offering has never, ever been accepted by God. I'm telling you. In case you did not know. Know it now. If the day somebody preached to you like I'm preaching, that you don't have, it's not the giving that's making you prosperous, and then you stop giving, it shows something. Your offerings have never been accepted. Because Paul said to the Philippians, he said, you rekindled your love for me, not your desire for reward. What did you rekindle? Your love for me. Let's read this scripture because it's very important. Our time is gone now, but if I read this, that will form the foundation for what I want to begin to talk about next time. Did I mention it earlier? Okay. Let's read the book of James chapter 2. I'd like Christians to know that all things are passed away. What did I say? I heard somebody say it. I didn't hear it directly. Somebody quoted it that a man preached. Very powerful message. Very powerful. That's how I was told. When I finished hearing the message, I said in my heart, I hope you don't believe it. That's error powerfully delivered. What's the message? Say, if your great grandfather was a slave trader, that's why you will start having broken homes as a Christian. It's error powerfully delivered. If your great great grandmother was a witch, that's why birds fly by your window at night. That's error powerfully delivered. They are talking to Christians. I went somewhere today. One young man met me there. He said, please, I want to talk to you. He said, there's this sickness that's been worrying me for some time. I said, yeah. Please, I hope you don't mind. Go ahead. Even if I mind, what am I going to do? You're here now. No, I didn't say that one. You know, I just thought it. I said, what's the sickness? So I've been trying to cure it for a long time. I've taken all kinds of drugs. It hasn't gone away. I said, what's the sickness? He said, it's staff. I said, there's nothing like that. He looked at me. He said, no, I mean staphylococcus. There was one of my doctors sitting behind me. So I called him. Hey, Dr. Z. He said, yes, sir. Has any disease called staph? He said, no, sir. I said, all right. He says, I meant staphylococcus. I said, hey, Dr. Z. He said, yes, sir. Any disease called staphylococcus? He said, no, sir. I said, very good. I said, you heard that. I didn't discuss you ahead of time. I said, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, you can choose to believe them and continue taking medicine and not getting well, or believe me and live your life normally. He said, but it didn't have an effect. I said, like what effect? He said, sometimes my body will move like this. I called that doctor again. Hey, Dr. Z. He said, yes, sir. What is it called when your body moves like this? He said, sir, it's called twitching, sir. I said, does it happen to you? He said, yes, sir. I said, thank you. He sat down. The guy looked at me. I said, it happens to me too. I ain't got no staff in my life. He said, but they have cultured it. I said, staff, look, if I culture your nose, I will find it. If I culture my skin, I will find it. But it's not causing these so-called problems that they are imposing upon you on a daily basis. He said, I went to the lab. I said, but you did not go and see a doctor, did you? Actually, I said, you see what I'm saying. Some of you just get up in the morning, having a small fever, you go lab, and they go diagnose for you. Nobody, you want sick. You want sick now. We go help you find sickness. Because every laboratory investigation is meant to be interpreted. This so-called staff is around. It's a neighborhood friend. There are different types. Some of them are your friends on your face, on your hand. You can't cure them. You can't kill them. They're your friends for life. They're just dead there. Now, I'm looking at an issue here. That people lie to people and put them in bondage recklessly when they don't interpret the issues of their lives properly. You say to somebody, because your business failed, It's because your great-great-great-grandfather used to cheat people. Tell the pastor. You know I've been telling you. Anybody tells us, say, pastor, come here. Should I tell the name of my great-great-grandfather? And you see he never cheated anybody. Say, yes. The one I can remember, his name is Abraham. Abraham what? Abraham of God. Didn't you read the Bible? I am a descendant of Abraham by faith. He didn't cheat anybody. He allowed himself to be cheated by Lot and the king of Sodom. So explain to me which of my great-grandfathers. I know it's not that one. It's the one from your village. You didn't hear that once I believed, I was born not of the will of flesh, but for the will of the will of God. How come you have problems? You, pastor, you don't get a problem. Why your church small like this? You don't get a problem. Why are you collecting offering to chop from people like me? But you've had four business failures. A righteous man fails 7 times. No, these are things Christians must know. People have simple, normal, small problems. Like the young man telling me he has a twitch. You never get twitch before. You just sit down, your face just shake. Some people say, Holy Ghost fire. May not burn your face. No, these things are important that believers understand them. That's why I'm reading all of these things. I'm explaining them. Because once we have stepped into Christ, don't let anybody deceive you. The sins of your ancestors are not being counted against you. Simply because in Christ Jesus, levels don't change. What did I say? Levels don't change. You have moved from that level to another level. So there I heard people discussing, say, So that's why people now go for deliverance. If your great grandfather was an idol worshiper, come on, say, pastor, stop deceiving us. This is Africa. Whose great grandfather was not an idol worshiper? This is the one that now makes me laugh. Now you're going to take a seed to break the curse of 3 generations. I know human beings, they love it. They love it. Once it's free, you not get value. But once now we walk out, at least yeah. Once now we walk the walk by ourselves, yes, it has value. He said, I don't have any money this month. I had to finish my great grandfather's sins. So my whole salary for that month, now my great grandfather's own. Next, I want to pray. Say, devil, the one holding my great grandfather. I said, no, I'm not the one. I came from the 3 generations before that one. Then you know you're in trouble. So what did you say? Listen, your father is not really from Enugu State. I hope you know. Your great grandfather migrated from Kogi. I am the friend of the evil spirit of the great great grandfather in Kogi State. How do we do your own deliverance now? I will show you the way if you are interested. I have a friend coming tomorrow. He's a pastor. He will tell you how to deliver yourself of me. Human beings, they love it. They now gather money, say they are going to do village deliverance. You go and chase a tree that if you did not know, they will have cut that tree and use it to do chair. You will have bought the chair and sat on it and nothing will happen to you. Now be chasing the tree. You pay somebody 200,000 naira to fast on your behalf. Deception. Hey, it's painful. If you tell people, come and hear the word of deliverance. No, they don't like that one. They don't like it. They want to fight the demons of each generation. Let me end my message, please. We wanted to read. We didn't read it. Oh, no, we'll read it so that we'll continue from the... In fact, let's just leave it. Time has gone. We'll continue reading. We always come back, don't we? We'll continue learning the word of God. People love deception. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's part of... They like their... They don't know how to just accept. No, you come. And I say, sir, we are so sorry. Say, don't worry about it. God says, don't worry, I have paid, you can go. No. How can we just go like that? They want to be this. Let me just tell you this small story just to end it and then we'll go. Just something that happened, medical thing. When I was in Lagos, then my cousin's driver came and met me and said, he showed me the children, like two of them. I looked at them. They were ill, quite all right. I think they had measles or something. So I just told him simply that, well, whatever be the problem they had, I said, it's not a big deal. It will go away. Just make sure they keep eating and drinking. They were children. If anybody's vomiting, let me know. If they're not vomiting, just keep on feeding them very well. They were stooling. The stooling will go away. And then any drug to buy, I said nothing. If they have fever, just give them paracetamol. You know, and then, okay, multivite if you can. I said, just multivite paracetamol and leave them. They'll be okay. They thanked me. I went away. Then came back the next day and showed me a long list. That one woman next to them, either she's a school teacher or a nurse or something, but I don't know who the person is. Ah, I gave him this long list. Ampiclocks. Anyway, a row of antibiotics, anti-malarias, anti-this, anti-that, anti-that. He brought it to me to come and vet it so he can go and buy it. So I said to him, go and buy it. He looked at me like, ah, why are you doing like this now? I don't know whether you get my point. Why are you doing like this now? I said, you came to see me yesterday. You have not told me that somebody superior to me in learning this profession spoke to you. Your neighbor spoke to you. You know, now, I'm telling you something. You don't seem to understand that I know what's going on. I'm not guessing. And I've told you that your child will be well. This is just discomfort for a few days. It's not a serious problem. But human beings don't like that. They don't like it. You know, they go to hospital. They are told that you are not sick. Then they go to another hospital. Now, this attitude is carried to the spiritual realm. That's what I'm telling you, all of these things. You tell somebody that you have business failures, it's because you are indisciplined. And faith or no faith, if you are indisciplined, your business will fail. My staff, the other day, said they want to go to church. I said, he said, please, can I come to work late tomorrow? Or not at all? I said, eh? He said, okay, I'll come very late. What's going on? We have this prayer meeting in church at 9 o'clock. I said, so, remember, Father thinks that you are one of those women that don't work, I'm sure. I said, they didn't put it off for you. They put it off for those women that don't have anything they are doing at 9 in the morning. Why do you go fix prayer meeting 9 in the morning on a working day? You are getting what I'm saying? Human beings, they like it. Let me go and pray. That is, I have to take credit. I don't realize it though, but I'm taking credit for the deliverance in my life. But if somebody said to them simply, don't worry about it. Like that person I told you about, if you keep on going for prayer meeting, 9 o'clock every day, and you're a businessman, Holy Spirit, in fact, Satan, you have given Satan leave. He doesn't have to work against you anymore. You have killed your business by yourself. That just by the way. Because I'm bringing an issue, eh? So you tell a Christian, the problem with your business is not spiritual. It's indiscipline. Can I see your account book? No, we just buy, we sell, we... He doesn't have an account book. How much do you earn as a salary? Me, I own the business. I know. How much do you earn? Okay, you don't earn any salary. No. So when you want to eat, where do you get food from? I just take over. If we don't sell for that day, I take something. And you think your ancestors are the ones worrying you? You explain to people like that, that you don't have a business role and go. You know, they don't accept. So you know what some pastors now do? Say, no, wahala. I will do what you want. This is your business problem. It's the ancestral spirit from your mother's side. The father's one that was taking care of last year's deliverance. So what you will do, you come for 1 week praying and fasting with special offering on every day. It's a daily seed. You know the truth? If I start that here today, next time you come, you know go see space. You won't see space now. And I'm happy you won't see space because you shouldn't see space. You should go somewhere else. Because by that time, you know, say, original backslide, all of you just gather somewhere and say, let's pray for Pastor Bank. He's about to die suddenly. If you're blessed today, say a loud amen. Amen. If you are free in Christ Jesus, say a loud amen. Amen. Let's just bow down and just say, Father, we thank you.